Let's get our Bibles ready this morning for some preaching today. We always want our, I look for every year, we're going to have Brother Robinson and Ms. Robinson come to our church every year. He's preached revival meetings for us. He's preached in our musical May services and just come and preach to us. I appreciate him. I appreciate his sincerity about things. I appreciate his wife willing to put up with him. I appreciate all those things. I got to tell the story. I got to tell it again, Dr. Rob. When we first met, he was at a pastor's conference that we go down to in the Bay Area here, and I walked onto the bus, and there he was sitting on the bus, in the back of the bus. And I said, nah, this didn't look right. And I went over and I sat down and talked to him, and he didn't look like the rest of us on that bus. And I said, he needs a friend. Now, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? He didn't have a neck. And I thought, this man, I got a neck. I got to sit down and talk to him, see what the miracle of medical science is. A man can function without a neck. And we just sit down and chatted for a few minutes, and just like that, God knit our hearts together. And he has been a dear friend. And I appreciate him. He pastors in Fallon, Nevada. How many ever been to Fallon, Nevada? Look at that, brother. Can you believe that? You got to go to Fallon, Nevada on purpose. I mean, you don't accidentally drive through Fallon, Nevada. You just don't. You go out. If you've never been there, you just drive out in the desert, Nevada, till you see nothing, turn right, and there's Fallon, Nevada. But God has given this dear brother and his wife a great work there in Fallon. He stayed there and carved out a work, started the church, and has just stayed there and been faithful to the Lord these years. And I appreciate that about him so much. And Dr. Rob, you come preach to us this morning, please.
Thank you, preacher. All right, we better get started real quickly because somebody told me they will have me some coffee and donuts in a minute. And praise God. So, somebody said, do you believe you should have coffee and donuts in church? I said, yeah, that's biblical. That's biblical. I think you know, you got to have something in between the work. Somebody said, well, how can you prove that you should have something to eat? I said, well, you know, in order to do the work, you know, the preacher stands up and preaches, and then he has to come back and preach. I said, in order to do the work, because you get depressed and discouraged, you got to do what God told Elijah, arise and eat. Amen. And then when he got done, he said, eat again. Amen. So I think you ought to have coffee and donuts before you come to church, coffee and donuts in between church. Amen. I just think you ought to eat because the Bible said the journey is too long. Amen. So you ought to get some coffee and donuts up in here. Amen. He told me you came and split our church in just a matter of minutes this morning talking about coffee and donuts. He had gotten you so used to thinking that coffee and donuts was against the will of God. And then I came and proved to you differently. And now there's a split going on. Amen. Love your preacher. And when I say I love your preacher, I love your preacher. Love him a lot. Love him more than I can really say with words. He has taught me so much. And when I say teachers, my dad always told me, you watch people because they can teach you. And I said, yes. He said they can teach you what to do and what not to do. I've got more of the what not to do from him. And praise God. What do you think about those shoes he's got on? Amen. Amen. You know, I'll tell you something. There's a brother in there somewhere. He used to drive that Chrysler 300 around here. You know only two type of people drive Chrysler 300s, right? That's gangsters and preachers. Amen. He's got something in him going on. I'm trying to tell you. I love, somebody told me don't get started on Pastor Johnson because you know he gets the last word in. And so my last word to you is I love you, brother. I love you. And that's because the Bible told me I had to. So I love you. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Genesis chapter number 3. Book of Genesis. I'm so nervous. I mean, I am so nervous. And you say, why, preacher? Because you've got a great preacher. And one thing I know, when I say you've got a great preacher, you've got a preacher. And again, this morning, I sat down and I started listening to your services on the internet. Thank God you've got them on there. And sort of listen to how he talks to you and how he helps you and how he encourages you. And you've got a great preacher. And I said to myself, being honest, I said, God, you know that's not me. I could never help people like that. And when I say that, I really mean it. I believe that God has called me to preach, but it's a different way. That's one of the reasons why all of you from Fallon are here right now. And you left Fallon before you heard me, amen. And you realize this, it was God's best will, interest for you to leave. But no, I'm only kidding. If you've ever come through Fallon, you know it is a small town. I got to Fallon in 1991. It was 8,114 people. It's now 2010, and there's 8,104 people, I think. Amen. I'm telling you, I think it decreased like about 10 or something like that. It hasn't grown. I don't even know why we keep bringing stuff. We put in like, I think, three more stoplights since I've been there. It's a total of 5 stoplights now in the city of Fallon. And people say, why did they put those stoplights in? I think they wanted to pretend like they were a city. One stoplight is like right here, and then a block later there's a stoplight. And I'm saying, what for? Man, I mean, all you're doing is just slowing down traffic. And by the way, that's why he hates to come to Fallon, really. He don't mind our folks, but he's got to stop at a stoplight. That irritates him. And I like seeing it. Amen. Steam coming up off the back of his neck and stuff. Even when he comes to Fallon, now watch this. When he comes to Fallon, Mr. Pat, you know I'm telling the truth, he doesn't even let us drive around Fallon. We always get in the car with you guys, don't we? Well, he hates for anybody. All of you drive too slow. I know you do. And that's when we get to Fallon, he says, come on, get in the car with us. And it's like, okay, he wants to drive. And I'm telling you something, when we get out, I'm saying, God, thank you for getting us out of the car with him. Amen. First time we came here with the Smith family, where's the Smith family at over here? We had to follow him up to your place and things like this. We said this, if we get lost, we just turn around and go back to Fallon. Forget this, amen. He was going through those curves, and I mean, and you probably say, you shouldn't be telling on him like that. Hey, he's got sin too he needs to deal with, amen. But man, we were going through there. My wife said, don't be trying to keep up with him. And it's the first time I've ever said that. She said, don't be trying to keep up with him. I said, we got to know where we're going. I don't know this area. And she the one said, well, we get lost, let's go back. Amen. So we can do it now, brother. We can keep up with you. Genesis chapter number 3, if you found it, let's stand. We're going to give you one more time to stretch before we get done here in the next 15, 18 minutes. And you say 15, 18, it don't take long to preach this text. It really won't. It won't take long to preach this text. Next 15 to 18 minutes. Now, I didn't tell you that was the first point. Then I got 15, 18 minutes for the second point. 15, 18 minutes for the third point. But it won't take that long. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 9. A very familiar verse. Listen to what the Bible says. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him these words, where art thou? And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Say those three words with me. Where art thou? I like that. I like doing that the charismatic way. Say it again with me, brothers and sisters. One more time. No, what is it? Where art thou? Now, let me just ask you a question. After you have said those words, what comes to mind? You don't have to respond, of course, but what comes to mind? Most of the time when we hear those words of where art thou, it's like, where you at? And of course, if we read this, and I think most of us have, we know about Genesis, it's the book of beginnings, and God created heaven and earth here in the beginning, and God took man after doing everything he did and formed him out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul and told him what he ought to do, and then he took a rib from him and made a wife for him and gave that woman to him and put them in that garden. And of course, you know, you get to chapter number 3, and then Satan comes on the scene, and after Satan comes on the scene, things get all messed up. We know that they've eaten from the forbidden fruit, and here they are hiding from God. And he says, what? But you know what? He didn't just ask that question. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 11. I know you're still standing. I know, understand. Look at verse 11. And he said unto him, this is after they found out they were naked. Verse 10, I'll read it. And he said, I heard that voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Again, what comes to your mind when you start hearing this? Where art thou? Well, we did what we were supposed to do, and we hid ourselves, and we were naked. Who told you? Who told you? Then look, if you would, please, again. There's another question. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, this is after, of course, the man, and he did the right thing. He said, in verse 12, and let me read that one again. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. You know, it's always a woman's fault we got this mess. At least that's what we want everybody to think. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto the woman, watch this, what is this that thou hast done? So God says in verse 9, Where art thou? He says in verse 11, who told thee that I was naked? He says in verse 13, what is this that thou hast done? And when we read that, something comes directly to your mind. But I want to tell you something, that God's been working on me a little bit with this text. And I see this thing a little bit differently than I used to always see this thing. I see God coming down from heaven and coming to talk with man in the cool of the day like he used to, and say, hey, where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? Oh, we went and hid ourselves because we ate the fruit that you told us not to eat of. We were naked. Who told you you were naked? Who told you that you were naked? Oh, it was that woman that you gave to me. I did that because of her. Hey, woman, what hast thou done? And I believe that most of us, when we read this text, I say most of us, because some of you are way ahead of me. When we read this text, all we see is God saying, but I want to tell you something, Pastor Johnson. God loves me. And I read this text one time after thinking about where I was at and what I had done. And I thought about the friends I had who were telling me things, and I was with them. And I remembered back when I was 25 and no hearing from God, and then finally age 28, I remember God saying, would you go preach for me now? And I jumped up from where I was at, and I went running to go preach for God. And I'm telling you something, I'm glad God came with these words to me in 1988. Where art thou? Let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you for these words. I thank you. I appreciate these words. And God, I hope I'll be able to help somebody today. I know we as preachers, I know, Father, that we've seen this text, and we realize there's sin and it's caused us to be separated from you. Father, I keep thinking about the fact you came down looking for man. You asked, where are you at? You asked him, who told you this? You asked him, what have you done? God, I see something that I'd never seen until this year. And again, thinking about where you brought me from. I see you, dear God, loving me and having desire for some things with me once again. Thank you for your text today. Thank you for your lesson I've learned. And I hope I'll be able to help your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When you look at Genesis chapter number 3, of course, you see a lot of things here that what we call, because Genesis is the book of beginnings, and you see a lot of things here in the chapter number 3 that began. First thing, we see the beginning of sin. We see sin for the very first time, basically, here in the garden in Genesis chapter number 3. I don't have time to deal with it, of course, but you know this sin came because of three things: because of doubt, deception, and it destroyed man. What happened is that man didn't believe God's word. And you say, how did man believe? God told them not to eat. And you need to just learn to trust God's word. A lot of times we're like, why? And by the way, if I could tell you why on everything, I'll be honest with you, I'll try to tell you why. But there's something that I just don't understand right up front when God tells me to do them. And then later on down the road, if I do the will of God, then I understand the doctrine. Amen. I've learned that sometimes. So sometimes you just got to say, God, I hear what you're saying. God, I'm going to do what you told me. God, I may not be able to follow it logically through the word of God, but I trust you and your word. The first sin is mentioned right here. The first sorrow is mentioned right here. The first sorrow, we've let God down. I mean, God, I messed up my life right now. But here's the good thing about it. We got a God that came looking for man. And the first sorrow and the first shame happened. But the first salvation is mentioned. Amen. You get down into Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. God talks about sending his son and talks about what's going to happen with the devil. And the first separation is also mentioned here. Many other things. But I want to get back to that verse number 9. Where art? I understood God had used this in my life. I wanted to help people. Because I've come to find out there's a lot of people with a front. I mean, we know God is good and we know that God loves us, but I've come to find out there's a lot of people that are still maybe dealing with some things in their life from their past. And I want you to understand something. God has dealt with your past. Amen. God has thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. God has separated as far from you as the east from the west. If you come to God and you've asked God for forgiveness, God has already done that when you come to Him, right? Somebody say amen. But sometimes what happening is we don't really understand that it was God that came looking for. It was God who has dealt with that past. And it is God that will give us a future. Somebody say amen. God's going to do those things for us. I want to just show you three things real quickly and then get to the conclusion of this by using another person I think will be a great blessing to you. First of all, when God says, "Where art thou?" God is seeking us to turn again to Him. I say God is seeking us. God not just saying, "Where are you at? Who told you? What have you done?" And that's all we hear. But when God comes with those three questions, where are you? Who told you that? What have you done? God is not just coming to you to kick you. God is coming to you to take and turn you back toward Him. But what did the man say? The man said, "That woman that you gave me." And God couldn't deal with that man like He wanted to deal with that man. Why? Because man didn't understand. God loves him. God wants him. God is seeking him. And that's what I found out in 1988. I knew that God loved me. God wanted me. And God was seeking me again. Age 14, if you've heard my story a little bit, I knew God had called me to preach. I knew it, and then at age 14, I decided I wanted to join the Navy. I wanted to get away. By the way, if you're going to ever join any branch, you probably shouldn't do it right now. Don't join the Air Force. Please don't do that. You say, "Why, preacher?" Because the Air Force is the only group that's not mentioned in the Bible. Navy's mentioned in the Bible. Soldiers are mentioned in the Bible. Somebody help me and say amen. Air Force in the Bible? God didn't say build a plane, Noah. He said build an ark. I'll leave that alone right now. He always tell me, of course, and you've heard him, the only reason why he tried to join the Navy, but his IQ was too high. You know, the truth of the matter is, I don't think he even knows what an IQ is. He heard somebody else say it like most of us. Amen. Somebody help me and say amen. Amen. Here's the truth of the matter. God says, "Where are you at? Why are you asking that, God?" God says, "Because I'm looking for you." Here's what God really shared with me. Get this, please. "Where are you at? Where are you at?" And I wasn't a preacher then. "Where were you at?" Because here's something he wanted me to know. Get this. Please get this. It's time to just fess up where we're at. Why? Because you can't hide from God anyway. We went and hid ourselves. It didn't say that God didn't know where they were. He's asking where you at, but they said we hid ourselves. Listen to me. God knows where every one of us are at. He says in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, about we can't get away from God. We can't go up and get away from Him. I'm paraphrasing. We can't go down. We can't get around. We are going to be found by God. "Hey, Jonah, where are you going?" "I'm running away from God." Somehow God knew where he was at. Somehow God knew where to send the storm. Why? Because you can't hide from God. Okay, preacher, I know that. So help me. Here's what God is saying. I want you. And aren't you glad you can't hide from me? You know, if God didn't know where we were at, He couldn't help us. If God didn't know where we were at, then he wouldn't be able to take and deal with our sins. God knows exactly where you and I are at. And we cannot hide ourselves from Him. By the way, you can't hide your sin from Him. You can't hide yourself and you can't hide your sin. I wish I could, but I'm glad I can't. Here's the thing about it. God was seeking man. Why? So that man could turn back to Him. That was one of the sweetest things I learned, brother. He wasn't seeking me so he can kick me. He wasn't seeking me just to shake a finger at me. He wasn't seeking me so he could just tell me how bad I've been. And by the way, God has to tell us how bad we are. Until you realize that you don't deserve to go to heaven, then you can't get to go to heaven. Somebody say amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinning, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to start with sin. But I'm telling you something. God is not coming after you just to shake sin in your face. Why is he coming at me? Because he wants me to turn back to him. Pastor Johnson, that's what friends do. Real friends. I remember once, and he don't even remember half the stuff he says to me. And when he says, God, I know God has asked him to say those things to me. When I got to diabetes and I found out about the blood sugar and how it make you weak and stuff like that. I don't even know if he remembered this. One of the questions he asked me was this. When do you fast and pray? Do you remember that? You don't even remember it, do you? But you want to know something? When I got the diabetes, I had an excuse, I thought. Not to really get serious with God. Again. Oh, God, you know I'm weak now. But you asked that question, brother. And I begin to go to God and say, God, right now, have I lost any power because I've used this excuse of my diabetes? And brother, you don't really understand, but God rejuvenated the ministry then. Because I began to try to find a way to take, even with the diabetes, to get alone with God, spend time with God. I couldn't spend days again fasting and praying. I found out I could spend some increments and then maybe do what I had to do and get another increment and do what I had to do and get another increment and do what I had to do. And I'm telling you something, I felt stronger with God. You didn't ask me that question to say, shame on you for not being fasting and praying. You asked that question, where art thou? Let's get this thing going again. Somebody help me, amen. That's what friends, see friends, listen to me, friends don't ask you a question all the time to destroy you. Friends are just trying to turn you, trying to get you back on course with God. So first thing I want you to know is this question of where art thou is so that man, God is seeking man, so that man can turn back to God. Second thing I want you to get, God is coming to man, and God is speaking to man. Where art thou? Where art thou? Where art thou? Where art thou? Not just so man could turn back to him, but so man could talk to him again. Where art thou? We ate and we hid ourselves because we were naked. Started the conversation over again. Before that, all we want to do is we want to hide. We don't want to talk to God. We don't want to say anything to God. And God, don't you say anything to us. And God said, no, this relationship is not going to work that way. We've got to communicate with each other. We've got to talk to one another. We've got to hear. You got to hear from me, and I need to hear from you. Listen to me here today. God is saying, where art thou? Where art thou? Where art thou? When the preacher gets done preaching, it's not for you to go run from God. It's so you can fly this old altar and talk to God once again. Hey. Have you been talking to God lately? God is saying, where are you at? I sure feel like talking again. I sure feel like sharing with you again. I know you've been reading the Word of God. Now tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what's in your mind. Some of us, again, we hear those words and all we think is we're in trouble. God says, oh yeah, it brought trouble. But I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to help you. I want to talk to you again. What do I need to do, God? He says, understand something. I just need you to confess it. If you'll confess it, we'll straighten it out. 1988. That's all he was asking me to do. Confess it. And he said, we'll straighten it out. Third thing. Not only is God seeking me so he could talk, turn me. He was speaking to me so I could talk with him. But God says, I'm going to save you. so you can trust me once again. I want you to trust me again. I want you to believe in me again. I want you to know that I'm on your side. And I found that out in 1988. You don't get it, pretty people. You just don't get it. I'm telling you what God did for me. And I'm being honest, I'm almost done, because this is not, it's not a deep and it's not difficult. But it's just to let you know, no matter where you at, no matter what you've done, no matter how long you've done it, God just wants you to turn. God just wants to talk. God just wants you to trust him again. The story is in Mark chapter 16, verse number 7. Deals with when Jesus has gotten up from the grave. He got up from the grave and he said, I want you to go and tell my disciples. And he uses these two words. And Peter. Isn't Peter a disciple? Yes, he's a disciple. But you've got to go talk to Peter. You've got to especially get a hold of Peter. You've got to get his attention personally. Why? Because it was Peter who denied him out there. It was Peter who began to curse and swear and say the things that Christians ought not to say. It was Peter while he was doing what they were doing, him taking him from place to place. It was Peter that was warming himself by the enemy's fire. And God said, when Jesus, once he got up from the grave, basically, go tell my disciples and Peter. You know what he would say? Hey, Peter, where art you, Peter? Where art thou, Peter? I want Peter again. I'm looking for him so he can turn to me. I'm calling for him so we can speak again. I want him here back where I placed him at. I want him to trust me again. What's he saying to Peter? Tell my disciples and Peter. Here's what he's saying, Peter. It's all forgotten. It's all forgotten. Now I know you say, wait a minute, doesn't God, yes, God remembers it, but God has an ability that I don't understand to just forget about it. He says, Peter, get Peter, get Peter. Why you want us to get Peter? It's all forgotten. Tell my disciples and Peter why. It's not only forgotten, it's forgiven. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He's died, he's buried, and he's risen again. Hey, Peter, it's under the blood. It's all forgotten. It's all forgiven. Here's what I learned in 1988. Not only are you forgotten, it's forgotten, and not only is forgiven, Peter, but Peter, I got a future for you. Who preached at Pentecost? Peter did. Who went to Cornelius' house? Peter did. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying that God said, I'm not through with you yet. That's what he said to me. I'm not through with you yet. I'm not through with you yet. And that's what so many of us have been made to believe. And preachers have to preach about sin. And preachers have to let us know we're outside the will of God. But why do they do that? Because God is saying, turn, talk, trust me. Because I love you. How do you know? Because I read about the cross. You don't get it. You don't get it. I understand. That's not God again wanting to take me and shake me and say, listen to me, you knucklehead. Again, I understand all of that. And again, I'm that type of a preacher at many times. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Before. I understand all of that. But I'm so glad I figured this out. He loved me. How you know, preacher? Crown of thorns on his head tell me he loves me. How you know, preacher? The cat of nine tail, the stripes on his back tell me he loves me. How you know, preacher, when they took the scepter and shoved the crown down into his head and the blood came running down? How you know he loved you, preacher? The nail in his head and the nail in his feet. How you know he loved you, preacher? He said, Father, forgive him. They know not what they do. How you know he loved you, preacher? Because when he got up from the grave, go tell my disciples and Peter. Paul said it. He died for me. For me. And if he did all of that for me, I know he's not trying to destroy me. He's trying to help me. Turn me. Talk to me. Get me to trust him once again. And if you're here today and not saved, and he's saying, where art thou? He wants to turn you right now to him. The goodness of God's supposed to lead thee to repentance, a change of the mind, which causes you to stop trusting yourself for salvation. He loved the goodness of God, lead thee to repentance. He loves you. He said, would you please, please, please turn to me. Would you talk to me? If you're saved, talk to me. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty. I'm in trouble, God. He said, talk to me. Ask, seek, knock. Talk to me again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Where art thou? I'm glad I understand and God wants me to straighten out. I'm so glad to know he wants me to straighten out so him and I can walk together again with the fellowship that he had with Adam and Eve before the mess up. And that's what he wants from you today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, we love you. And I thank you for the privilege to stand to teach and preach your word. I don't believe there's anything had to be said so deep today and so profound. I believe what we need to hear. Because some people are still dealing with some things. I know because I've talked to them in our church. And they still feel like they've let you down. And yes, we have let you down. But you still came looking for them and you looked for me and you're looking for these dear folks today. All they had to do is turn, talk, and trust. Because you've forgiven, forgotten, and planned a new future for their lives. Bless them now, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes are closed.